Hello, this is Jean Carriger, President of Capstone Marketing. I am thrilled to be speaking today with Randy Mowat, an old friend who is now the Senior Vice President of Marketing with MNP, one of the largest chartered accountancy and business consulting firms in Canada with more than 70 offices. Randy joined MNP in 1996, and the firm revenue at that time was $22 million. Now, 16 years later, MNP's annual revenue is $400 million. So we're going to have a wonderful conversation with Randy today on how that happens. Randy is a member of MNP's firm leadership team and is responsible for all marketing-related activities, including brand development and promotion, marketing planning and production, and market-facing communication. He works closely with all service, industry, and regional business units in the firm and is a member of the firm's management and operations committees. So, Randy, it's been a while since we've spoken, but thank you very much for your time today for the Capstone Conversation.
Well, thanks, Jean, and it has been a way too long for you and I to chat, and I would even say it's been a way too long since I've been down to the AIM meetings and some of the conferences down there that I used to attend and met a lot of really great people early on in my career, and I joined the firm in 1996, and you know, it was those early AIM meetings that really helped me get a good start into my career of accounting marketing. And you're right, it's been a way too long, and I promise I'll fix that. I'll look and see when the next ones are, and hopefully I can get down and reconnect with a whole bunch of folks. So
excellent.
It's just looking forward to chatting with you.
We would love to see you there. I know that's not a wonderful testimonial you just gave AIM.
Oh, great. Well, I really did enjoy it. I remember, you know, when I joined, back then it was called Myers Norris Penny, and Don Penny was our managing partner. It's 1996, and we were a pretty decent sized little regional firm at the time. And, when I joined, I had no clue what professional services marketing was all about or accounting marketing. And I came from the corporate background, and that was pretty straightforward. You just did what you had to do, and it was understood that that's how we're going to do things. From a corporate perspective, and then you go from that into a partnership, and you go, oh, that was a learning curve right there. I was a vice president at a consumer goods company, and, you know, four of us would sit around the table and vote on something and go do it. It doesn't work that way in a partnership.
And, no, it doesn't.
You know, so it was interesting to go through that and learn the cultural differences and the partnership differences, and I guess not to forget about marketing the invisible, because that's what we were really doing it back in those days. And of course, you know, back in those days, and you'll recall, Gene, like that was marketing those services was pretty new stuff, right across North America. And I think the U.S. was ahead somewhat in that regard, but it was still pretty pioneering stuff in those days.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel Canada ranks with the U.S. now with professional services marketing?
Not being down there for so long, Jean, I might be a bit off base, but I think they're getting closer. I remember having chats with, you know, the Mike Platts and others and yourself down in the early days, and the regulations that the U.S. firms operate under were much more liberal than the Canadian regulations. And when I started this journey, we had very strict solicitation rules where we had to be very careful not to be seen as soliciting, whereas you guys didn't have that issue. And those have now fallen away, pretty much 100% fallen away, or at least you don't even hear about it anymore. So we had that change, and that's helped a lot. I think other than that, though, from where I sit and see, I think they're getting much closer. I mean, we all are faced with the social media advent and the new channels that's opened up and can use. I never really came into this role thinking, I can't do this, I can't do that, other than, you know, you have to be on side. But it never stopped me from putting billboards on highways or from putting print ads in magazines and newspapers or having rink boards at professional sporting events, be it hockey or football. I just did what I thought we had to do to achieve the strategy or to achieve the objectives that we wanted to achieve. And so I guess, you know, the old line, I did it because I didn't know I couldn't, could apply.
Right. So over these years now, with the firm 16 years, you've noticed this tremendous growth, you know, from 22 million to 400 million.
Yeah.
What has been the biggest marketing challenge to the firm's growth?
Well, it's I don't know if I'd call it a challenge. I'd call it more reality, I think. And that really what I mean by that is a lot of our growth has been attributed to merger. So especially in the early days, we grew the way we did. Like, and we're talking about between 10 to 15% growth year over year for the last, you know, 15 years consecutive. And which is kind of cool because 10% of a bigger number is a bigger number, kind of thing. So, that some of the challenges that we're faced with in that regard is we'll merge and enter markets where we have zero brand, position, awareness, nothing. They never heard of us, you know. So, and initially I'm talking about going from a Western Canadian focus to an Eastern Canada where we're entering Toronto, which is Canada's largest city, very noisy, you know, very crowded, very expensive. So, and you have zero brand awareness or positioning in that market. You go from there into Montreal, where we went into a year and a half ago. Not only do we have no brand awareness, there's a language challenge there because that's a French-speaking market, and we're an English firm. So you go into that situation, it's very challenging because effective date, you have to be operating in French and English because there's also Anglophones there and Francophones. So you have to run your practice in English and in French. So you can imagine you don't have a French website. You don't have French collateral. You don't have French engagement letters. The whole thing. You have to translate. You have to build. You have to get all these pieces in place and then go to market with that. So that's a big challenge. But taking the language part out of it, just like I said, those new markets, that's a challenge building your brand into there. And so I don't know if I look at it as a challenge per se. I just look at it as a reality that has to be dealt with and let's get after it. So that would be one. Yeah, another one, what I'd say is a challenge for growth is having your general practitioners or your accountant, your professionals engaged with your programs. That seems to be an ongoing challenge. Mm-hmm. No matter where you are and what markets and not only if you're a new entrant into that or you're mature, it seems to be that ongoing. You've got to make sure that your GPs are engaging in your programs with in relation to client and prospect on a one-to-one basis. You know, we as marketers, we can select the audiences, we can select the contact strategies, things like this, but we don't go and actually make the call. So at least in our case, we don't. We stop with the strategic stuff and rely on our accountants for going out and doing the touch face to face. And if they're not doing that, and if they're not doing that effective, you're not going to be successful in achieving that engagement or that new growth. So we always are watching that one. And then I guess the third one would be that, you know, watching that our services don't become commodities. We have to differentiate by our delivery, our relationships, the way we treat our clients and walk the talk, I guess. I mean, we as marketers can write the great stories about our brand, our positioning and all this kind of stuff, but it's our folks on the ground that have to live it. And if they're not living it, then you're off brand. So I think, again, it probably comes back down to, you know, integrating and working in with your professional population that really is your face to the market and, you know, your feet on the street kind of thing. I would say would be those challenges.
And those are all, you know, those are three major challenges. So I'd like to ask you a couple of follow-up questions on
sure.
that. And you mentioned here that the firm's growth, you know, has included, you know, a lot of mergers. How has that impacted the firm's marketing culture? And then how do you cope with, you know, internal communication and making sure that everybody is on brand as you continue to get bigger and bigger?
Well, great question. And, you know, I'm ashamed to tell you I can't count how many mergers I've been involved with over the last 15 years, but it's been an enormous amount. Here's the one, I think, foundation to that is that you be very selective in who you let in. And what I mean by that is that when we do mergers with firms, it's not a question of, oh, you'd like to merge, great, let's do a deal. There's very much a robust process we go through with that potential firm. And guess what? It's first all about values, culture, vision, you know, personalities. Those are things that we talk about right up front. We don't even have a discussion about financial performance or quality of files or anything like that. We don't even get to that until second or third meetings. It's all about making sure those people that we're bringing into the larger room fit in the first place. Mm-hmm. And if there's no fit, there's no second meeting. So I think that's really important.
That is music to my ears, because I think in a lot of cases it goes exactly the opposite way. That
okay.
It's all about the financials first, and then, oops, oh, by the way, do we like each other? Do we think we can get along? You know, what
That's
type
so
of
true.
Firm will we be together? Would you agree with that?
So true. I've lived it. It's just everything. You know, I can say very proudly as a partner that we have not lost a merger. We've in all the ones we've done, and I'm talking like, you know, hundreds, we have not had one go, that was a mistake, and leave. We have not had that. We've never even come close to that. What we hear, you know, 2 and 3 years after a firm is merged in, I wish we would have done this earlier. And that just, again, I think reinforces that it's got to be right on those other areas. The financials and the performance, those are byproducts of things that are always going to be there. So I think that's number one. And number two, one thing that we have done is we have generated a marketing culture within the firm. It's just that, I think some of that is just because it's been such a growth-oriented practice that we don't know any other way. I mean, we just keep growing and growing. Last year was like 14%, 13% growth. And some of that is merger, no question. But we're also to a point now where organic growth has caught and surpassed our merger growth. And that's a really cool story, because that means that the new services we've developed, the new people that we brought to the firm as strategic mergers, that's all now, you know, maturing and really starting to pay dividends. So that organic growth, you know, outpaces our merger growth, and that's exciting on that one. So that culture of growth really helps, you know, us as marketers to put in plans and strategies. And they get accepted so much easier and quicker now than they ever have before as well.
Mm-hmm.
And most times, in fact, of all the mergers I've done, there's only been one instance where there was a marketing person in place. Every other firm didn't have any marketing people in place. They didn't really do marketing. And I think that they've seen what we've been doing in their markets or their adjacent markets, and they go, now I get to do that too. So it's been
they're
it's
part
been,
of the team now.
Yeah, they're part of the team, and they can't wait to go do some of this stuff, because it's fun. I mean, it's a lot of fun to go grow your brand and to, you know, get some publicity and to see your face in the newspaper and do some speaking. The guys like that, and so they do embrace it. And I guess we've been doing this now for so long that it's the way we do it. It would be
right.
It'd be very different for someone to come in and say, "Oh, I don't have to have a marketing plan." Well, yeah, you do.
Right.
So it's just part of our fabric now.
Well, that leads me into another follow-up question. So how are your partners and staff expected to participate in the firm's marketing program? Is it clearly set out for them?
Absolutely. And what we put in place years ago was an approach, a very collaborative, integrated, communicative process. And so the way I look at our firm and when I look inside our firm, one of the things I like about our governance is that we have a leader of every practice unit. So there actually is an individual that is responsible for that practice unit, be it a tax or a forensic accounting or corporate finance, whatever it might be, there is a leader. And so from that perspective, that's who me and my guys will work with to create plans. So right off the hop, it's integrated, it's collaborative. We sit in the same rooms. It doesn't matter if we're in different cities, they'll fly to head office, and we'll book at least a day, sometimes two, and we sit and we do the marketing plan together, or at least we flesh out the objectives and the key messages and audience and things like this. We'll do that in conjunction with that unit leader. And we'll do that from a service line. I'm going to say something you won't recognize. Niche. We say niche, not knit. You say niche, I think.
It's so much better the way you say it, Randy.
I remember going to meetings and I'd say niche and going, what is he saying?
Is that a new strategy? I've never heard of that before.
We got to get some of those niches. So we have a leader that, but then also we have regional leaders. So our governance is very much a matrix. So you have a regional element, a service element, and a niche or a client group element. And there's a leader for each one of those. We will sit down with each one of those, collaborate on plans. We will we'll make sure that they're understanding what we're trying to do. We understand what they need to get done. They understand what we're trying to do with our strategies. And then we'll take it down and say, now your teams have to be buying into this and aware of the plans, and because they have a role to play in it. As I said earlier, we'll take you right to the water, but we can't drink for you. We can't go out onto the street or into those meetings and bring that prospect to a client, or we can't go to that client and bring value added to them. So we have to absolutely rely on those folks, and we just tell them like that, and we explain to them, and they get it right away. And then it becomes more of a supporting exercise. What do you need to feel comfortable to go and do what we need you to do? Mm-hmm. So the answer is they're very integrated into our marketing strategies.
Wonderful. Yes. And you need that, especially since the firm has grown so much. If you didn't have that process, it would be more like my husband would call a soup sandwich. there wouldn't be any focus, and you would just be putting out fires all day long.
Absolutely. Or you do, but then after a while you run out of water and you just let it burn itself out.
That's right. So clearly the firm does utilize a niche marketing strategy.
Very much so.
How long has that been in place?
That's a good solid 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't in place when I joined. But it, you know, about 5 years or so after, it started to come, and it was one by one almost. It was, you know, based on where our firm has been, it was a very large agricultural practice. We just looked like the Midwest U.S., right? We're the prairies and the mountains and lots of beef and grain growing and things like this. So that was obviously our first niche. And then we started branching out into understanding what our geographic markets look like and seeing what niches were available inside. So oil and gas in Alberta, no different than down in Colorado or Texas. Mm-hmm. So we've developed those. We'll develop mining for our more northern areas. But I guess really, even backing into the agriculture one, the real niche that we have is private enterprise. That's our biggest and most robust. But we'll do pubcos, you know, all the public companies, we'll go after some of those. But really, it's, I'd say 80% of our practice is niched. And that's really the way to go.
Right. So thinking back 10 years ago when you started this niche marketing strategy, did it take some convincing of the partners to do that, or did they understand how important that was?
I think the answer is they didn't take convincing that this is the way to go, because it just makes so much sense. I would love to talk to somebody who wouldn't think that that's the way to go, but it was okay as long as they didn't have to give up their clients. So I like this. I'll use, how do you say it? Niching? Niche?
Yeah, it doesn't even sound right when you say it that way.
So you know, I'll adopt this niching that you want to do as long as Gene does it, but I'm okay. I don't have to do it. So if I've got one car dealership and Gene has five, you know, clearly I should give mine to Gene.
Right.
But that's where they struggle.
Right.
That's where they struggle. They don't want to give up that relationship, that income. You know, they just, that's where it struggles. But you know, even they will say, those that don't want to do it will say it makes sense, but just give me a bit of time because there's going to be a general manager change or something like this. But that's really the challenge, and it just takes time. It takes a lot of time, but once you get there, it's just the way to go. You can become so much more deep within that area.
So 10 years later, do you still have that struggle?
Not as much, no.
Okay.
No, not as much. If even at all anymore. I mean, I'm sure there's some partners that are, you know, can see the retirement window coming at them, and they're probably, okay, I'll transition, and now I'm going to transition up to it where it should be. Mm-hmm. But and you got to appreciate that. I mean, if you've had a client for, you know, 20 years or so, you're not just going to give them up just because, well, the firm wants you to. You've got really deep relationships there, and that needs to be respected. But it does take time.
Right. And you also don't want to put that client relationship in jeopardy either.
Great point.
It makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So, Randy, tell me, which marketing tools do you find most effective in generating leads for MNP?
Oh, I use a lot of tools. As I said earlier, I wouldn't even classify myself as that traditional type, you know, accounting marketer. I probably came at things a little bit even from the product side of the equation. So I use direct marketing. I use good traditional addressed and unaddressed, depending on what I'm doing. Maybe some listeners will say, well, why unaddressed? Well, that's what I do with my insolvency practice, because obviously I don't know who they are. So I'll do direct marketing, unaddressed direct marketing into postal walk selections and things like this, and that's been very effective. I'll do address to either client groups or prospect groups. And when I say direct marketing, I'm not saying mail. I'm saying mail and follow up by phone.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, no matter what, us marketers are doing, it must result in a face-to-face meeting. Otherwise, we're not achieving what we need to achieve. Mm-hmm. So there has to be that, there's the mail piece, or the email piece, and then there has to be that phone call follow up that either we're doing or a telemarketer would be doing. So, and that's been very, very effective for us. I like events and seminars and those type of things, which again are pretty traditional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I like those because, again, you're one step closer to sitting down face to face, and you're showcasing, you know, your talents and your skill sets that you have within your practice. I wouldn't dismiss just having a good, strong brand awareness. I think is part of the lead generation element, and why I say that, I mean, it's going to be a lot easier to get our guys a meeting if they know your brand. If they don't know your brand and they never heard of you, they're that's a tough way to go. That's pretty cold stuff. And so I think it's important that the practices have a good, solid brand awareness. And I got goofy sayings, and one of my sayings is, I look at that as air support for on-the-ground troops. So I mentioned earlier about going into new markets where no one knows who we are. Well, it's going to be a lot easier if I can surprise some air support for my guys on the ground, so they go out and say, we're M&P, this is what we do, and this is who we are all about. And they, if they go, yeah, I've heard of you, yeah, okay, I'll have chatter. But if they've never heard of you, it's just tougher. So I don't think we should ever dismiss having a good, solid brand and some awareness as a lead generation element.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my favorite one, though, is partners to just go out there and ask and, you know, put out their hand and shake hands and meet people and talk about business. If it's a client, just go talk to them about their business and what's going on. That generates not a lead, but that generates leads for more work, because there's always more things that we can be delivering, but you got to be talking to your clients about that. And if there's prospects there, just go simply, you know, talk to them. I mean, that's what I really strive for. Everything we do really should really have an end goal of connection. So by direct marketing, events, a strong brand, and willing partners to go out there and reach out would be my most effective ones.
Right, and that sounds like a great combination. With a firm your size, I know you've got a team of people that you work with. I think you indicated you've got a team of about 35 people.
Yeah.
How did you build that team?
Well, interesting. When I started, we had a team of one.
And that's gonna ring with a lot of people listening to this conversation.
And a very problem employee too, I might add. You know, yeah. But I started with a team of one, and what I did first. Now, I guess I should back up a second. What I've done is I've built my department and my team in really two sides. So I have a creative communication side, and then I have a strategy and planning side. So the first thing I did is I built the creative side. So writers, and these are almost one by ones kind of building. So, you know, when I joined the firm, we didn't even have a logo and we didn't have any collateral. We obviously didn't have a website. It didn't even exist then.
Right.
We didn't have anything. So here we were, anything we wanted to do or write or produce for partners or for promotion, we had to go to an agency. Which is fine for some stuff, but I came from a bit of a background in that area, and I knew about print, and I knew about writing and production and things like this. So that was, I guess, a pretty easy place for me to start. So I started by bringing in some writers, and I got up to, two or three writers in that area. Then it moved on to some creative people that could come and design and bring the writing to life and that kind of thing. So we started on that. And we just really generated that, what I called an in-house agency. And today we have creative director, one overall creative director, another assistant creative director, production people. We've got Mac artists. We've got, how many writers now? Four or five writers in that area, print production people, web design and web production people. And really, it really does look like an ad agency, and most of them all have ad agency experience. So it's very, we'll do 80%+ of all our materials will be done in-house, including video production. Obviously, we'll hire a video crew, but we'll create videos and, all our print productions all done in-house. And I have agencies, but we'll use them very strategically. We'll use them more for new thought and maybe some new thinking or a new approach, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But we will be directing them very, very closely, and it works quite well. So I built that side up, and I was building that. That allowed me to kind of take my eye off that for a while. And then so I was the strategy and planning department for that. And as we kept growing, that became too heavy of a load. So I knew I had to bring some more help in there. So I started bringing in some good strategy people. And it's funny because I'd say in the interviews, no, you can't have a creative bone in your body because I've already got that covered over here. You've got to be the, the dull and boring and the strategy and black ink on white paper kind of person. Which is not accurate, but. But what we have built now, it seems I have a lead strategist who really, main role is to sit down with each of the business unit, leaders and flesh out those plans every year because we do zero-based planning and going through that. So that person now has two or three people under him. We've got our online strategist under there as well. And their job is to make sure there's a marketing plan in place, a budget in place. And then they execute that plan, and they execute it utilizing the creative department, and they utilize it involving the regional people. So it's very integrated. Again, that matrix is always at play.
Right. So geographically, I mean, is your team, they're all housed with you in Calgary?
You know what? It's almost a 50-50 split. We've got 15 what I call regional marketing managers across Canada, and I've got 15 people upstairs.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I've got some freelancers that are placed within Toronto. I have a few freelancers. Montreal, I have a few freelancers. Vancouver. So we've got a team there that is supportive for the regions as needed. We've got expansion capacity when we need it and things like that. But yeah, it's about an even split.
Mm-hmm.
But we will be this fiscal, which we're just nicely into now. We'll be bringing in more online people, and that'll be housed here at head office.
Right. Okay. Does your team include any business developers or salespeople?
No. No, it doesn't. And I've always thought about that. And I've always looked at the U.S. models and talked about that. I think Mitch Reno uses them and or has anyways at Raymond. And we've dabbled in it, but we really haven't embraced how that works. Can it work? we're not saying it can't or shouldn't or, you know, anything like this, but we really haven't put a real focused, concentrated effort on that. And it's probably another reason why I should come back down to AIM and learn more about that. But no, we don't have any of those here.
Right. Okay. What do you think is the biggest change in accounting marketing?
Well, I guess the first thing I'd say was there's more of us. Going back in time, it was a pretty small room where we had meetings.
Right.
So I think there's more people entering this discipline of marketing and professional services or accounting. So I think that's good. I think that another change I see or feel is that we're viewed more strategically, more important. I think we're respected more. And I don't mean this in any kind of derogatory way, but I remember when I'd go down to AIM meetings in the early days, it almost felt there's a lot of party planners, if I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm the marketing person and I put on the Christmas party and that always just made me shiver. And I hope that's gone away. Gene, you would know better than I would, but from the people that I talk to, I don't see that as much. I mean, event marketing is still part of our domain, but it's just an element.
Right.
So I see that. I see also, and maybe this is driving part, I see as we get younger managing partners coming into firms, the marketing stock goes up. And I think that that's a byproduct of they're younger, they've had a different education perhaps, they've had maybe more worldly experience or what have you, but I'm seeing that crop up more and more as the next generation, if you will, of managing partners come in, they get it. Whereas I think some of our listeners would say, oh boy, you know, I can speak for it. I mean, when I joined, you know, people would look at me, partners, senior partners look at me and say, why are you here? I don't need you. I'm fine. Thank you. You spend money. I make money. I don't even hear anything like that anymore.
Right.
If I was to hear that, it would be, you know, someone that a dinosaur thinking, not necessarily in age, but thinking. So
right.
I think it's come a long, long way. Like I've been a partner in the firm now for about 10 years. And I know that was probably, I was one of the probably early ones to make partner. And now you're seeing more and more of them across, at least in Canada. And I don't know what it's like down there. But so I think it's growing. And, you know, and it's nice to see. Because it's certainly, you know, marketing is like in any business, you have to have good, successful marketing if you're going to grow and prosper and build a brand. And I think that, you know, firms get that now. And I think also, Gene, it's going to become, if it already hasn't, a lot more competitive out there. And I think marketing is going to be right at the forefront of that because, you know, firms want to grow. They want to grow their brand. They want to grow their share. And that's marketing.
And I agree with everything you said. I think the profession has really grown. I think it's become more sophisticated and professional and mm-hmm. accountable. And I see many more marketers achieving the type of status that you have within your firm, and that it's looked at as more of a discipline that contributes to the bottom line and opens up opportunities for firms as opposed to a discipline that just spends money.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, that should be all our goals. I mean, and now what's going on down there? Has it changed as well? Like what I described?
It has. There are more marketers, you know, that have achieved, you know, that chief marketing officer, and in some
right.
cases, you know, that partner or principal level.
Yeah.
I think the level of what we see entered into the AIMA awards each year will blow you away. Just
excellent.
How on point it is and how focused it is. And I agree, you know, in the old days, I think marketers would take a job with an accounting firm because they couldn't find a marketing job in another type of business.
Okay.
And now, working in professional services, whether that's accounting or law or engineering, is a desirable career choice.
Excellent.
And I don't think it always was.
Well, I can remember when I started, people would say, you do what?
For who?
How do you market accountants? And, you know, I don't get asked that anymore. Right. No, not easy. That's
oh,
right.
Gosh.
In fact, you just triggered me. I'm just cranking my neck around here when you mentioned AIM Awards. So I'm looking at my 2002 mm-hmm. AIM Award for direct marketing. What is this one? This one was, I got two in 2002. Okay. And
there
I did put
go.
That on the list. Yeah, I haven't looked at those for a while.
See? You got to get back in the mix. There.
I got to get back in the mix. There's no question.
There you go. All right. Last question. So you've been involved at M&T for 16 years. You've been a partner for 10 years. The firm has experienced this tremendous growth. You clearly play a key role in these mergers and those negotiations and due diligence. So what is your best piece of advice for a growing firm or a firm that really wants to ramp up their growth?
Well, I would say first thing, you know, make sure that you're well structured and well governed. You know, be focused. Don't try to be everything to everybody. You know, understand who you really are as a firm. So, for instance, we call ourselves, we're very proud of, we're a mid-market firm, and we're proud of that. So we have no desires to be, you know, seen or perceived as a multinational big four. We just don't. And so I think that's really important, to know who you are, know who your clients are. I think it's really important to differentiate, you know, as best you can in a gaining commoditized type market or industry where an audit's an audit, you know, and lots of people can do that and things like this. So I think you got to be having your service offering lined up to really, really speak to your market that you're targeting on. So I think some of those are good fundamental type business practice things that you need to have in place. I think you have to have courage to go and try things and experiment with things and enter into service lines that you weren't in before and see if you can make a work of it. I mean, you know, we got a saying around here, sometimes you got to kiss some frogs to find that prince and don't be scared of failure to go out there. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that I'm proud of the firm is we're just not scared to fail and sometimes we even celebrate it. So I think some of those things are really good underpinnings for growth. And I guess the other thing is make sure your prices are right and you're not giving it away,
mm-hmm.
As well. I mean that's really, really important. So I think, you know, just having really good leadership and people in the firm that want to have fun and they really enjoy what they're doing and they're good people to be around and there's very little hierarchy and very little politics and things like all those things are just energy wasters and they don't do anything good for your practice. I'd say make sure you don't have any of that kind of stuff. We're very, very minimal kicking around because when you get a bunch of people that like what they're doing, they're good at what they do and they just want to have some fun and make some money and have good lives for them and their family, boy, you can do a lot of cool things.
I absolutely agree. We have been talking today with Randy Moa, Senior Vice President of Marketing at MNP. Randy, congratulations on all of your success, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much, Jean. It was just great talking with you again, and I promise I will come down to the next AIM meeting if I can, and we'll catch up over a glass of wine.
I look forward to it.
All the best.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.